Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And today we have the privilege, and I use that word most sincerely, of having a guest with us that has walked a road that I think a lot of us can relate to on various levels. And that road is the road of stress. However, what if you were a person that had a 30,000 square foot house, a yacht, wonderful family, everything according to what is seen, money in the bank, didn't have a care in the world, quote unquote. What if all of that ended up exploding into a gazillion pieces and you found that you had a major challenge that you were going to have to overcome, and it was with yourself because of a patterning of habits that you had. Mind power, we're going to be talking about this morning with a gentleman from the New Zealand area. His name is Paul Hulick. The topic is Stress Pandemic, the Lifestyle Solution. Paul, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Donna, to be on your show.
And, Paul, I want to start right off the bat. With your book, Stress Pandemic, I thought, okay, this is really going to be something, because I get so many pieces of material. And when I read your personal story, I said, I've got to have this man on the air, because you went through such an extreme set of circumstances. You're a man that achieved tremendous success. I mean, I would dare say that any of my listeners hearing about your company and the things that you did, they go, wow, boy, man alive, I would just love to have that. But many times we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Many times there are things that are happening that causes a person's life to literally blow up into a gazillion pieces. And that's exactly what happened with you. Tell us, Paul, your story, and just tell it in your own words.
Well, I was a privileged boy, I guess, because I had a loving mum and dad, but there were issues in the home between mum and dad. So that was tough. But when I was a teenager, I bought into the Hollywood lifestyle. Work hard, be a big success, have the big home, the nice car, be your own boss, travel the world. And so I worked really hard, very, very hard. And during that process, I got married when I was 24, and we had three lovely sons. And I continued to try and be a good husband, a good father, a good partner, a good business person, a good boss, everything, and a good friend. But it was around about the age of 40, yes, I thought I had the perfect life. I was a chairman, CEO of a multi-million dollar pioneering organic food company that was listed on the stock exchange. And yes, I had just built, for the people I love most, a grand mansion, and of course I had the Ferrari and Porsche parked in the driveway. But what was happening is there was something amiss with me. There was something not quite right. I felt not over happy. I felt happy when I achieved certain things, and when things were doing well for my sons and they were achieving. Of course I felt good at times, but I felt not quite right. And what was happening is my body and my mind were giving me signals that there's something wrong. And the first signal was grinding of the teeth. The first symptom of stress was grinding of the teeth, and of course I reached out to help and went to the dentist, and they said, Mr. Hulich, you need to wear a mouth guard, but don't worry, everybody has them. It's a common occurrence. And sure enough, I wore the mouth guard, but it's not too romantic at night wearing that, but I did it. And I also developed insomnia. So, of course, I reached out and started taking sleeping tablets, and because I was traveling a bit, and, you know, circadian rhythm, and earlier years I'd always done shift work, which is not the best thing for you, I found out later. And I also had, which I was trying to refer to, the emotional side. I had a dull feeling in my tummy, and I didn't know what it really was, and what it was is actually the signs of depression. Mm-hmm. And from there, I reached out for professional help. And since I had a very large home, of course, I had the trainer come, and I had a 25-yard indoor pool, so I was in the pool swimming up to a mile, but the symptoms wouldn't go. So eventually, I reached out for more professional help. I went to psychiatrists and doctors, and one of the leading psychiatrists in the country, rated number in the top three, and eventually I went on to medication. And from there, over the years, over a couple of years, I tried different drugs, and of course I tried everything that I was told to do, take up meditation and yoga, but it didn't abate. It got worse. Mm-hmm. Till one day, I was lying in the fetal position in bed, in total darkness, afraid of the whole world, and couldn't make a decision, was afraid to talk or to anyone or see anyone, and even if I got out of bed, didn't know what to wear or what to eat. From there, I became a runaway train. I developed mood swings, and the doctors couldn't stop it completely, until one day, I lost it completely. I experienced a terrifying, debilitating mental breakdown. And that was the day I lost my rights. I was made a ward of the state. My bank accounts were frozen. My bank cards, credit cards were taken off me, and my passport. And that is such an enormous experience. You don't want to experience that if you can help it, because prevention's the key. So from there, I fought back.
Now, this is something that, for me, when I was reading your story, I thought, there is not one person on this planet that is not going to have life experiences that are going to be perhaps betrayal by those that we love, or, you know, there are very, very dark moments, dark night of the soul, but you really had a heavy-duty dark night of the soul, because everything, you literally were not going to have any rights whatsoever, and you ended up going in to a clinic. You were institutionalized, and whenever we hear that word, most people's toes begin to curl up. They just like, oh, this is bad. And I really appreciated and respected your point about how mental illness is looked at as something that you hide. And this goes back, I don't know how many generations, especially in the Western world. We want to hide away from the society those people that are not mentally fit. And mental illness is not something that's easy for anyone to discuss. And if you look at the human condition, I think there's temporary insanity that affects just about everybody at one time or another. But with you, when you went into this, there was what you called the golden rule about mental illness. And I'm quoting from your book. This is what you were told. Never disclose your condition or diagnosis of mental illness to anyone. And the reason they said this, they said it's a protective measure against those, and you found there were a lot of them out there, who would manipulate a history of mental illness against a person. So you decided to go against this. You decided you were going to, number one, become a warrior, using your term, in your own life, and that you had to take charge. And your book, Stress Pandemic, The Lifestyle Solution, you have written this book, I feel, because you want people to be aware that they are responsible for their own space, their own place in life, but they have to be mindful about it. They need to understand that if they're getting to a point where they feel like they can't breathe, or they're just absolutely just wiped out, they really need to look at what they can do for themselves. And this was quite a journey for you. And I also appreciated the fact that because you had been put on pharmaceuticals, you had the wisdom to work with someone who was willing to work with you, a professional, that said, we'll take you off little by little by little. And you did some pretty significant things. Tell us about that journey. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love the story about your grandfather and the rock, because that story was so strong as an inspiration to you. Would you share that story with my audience?
Yes, it's nearly bringing tears to my eyes right here now emotionally, because when I decided to reach out for help, I came to the United States. I went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, which is world-renowned, because I wanted a cure, because all the doctors in Australia and New Zealand said there is no cure. So I thought I'd go there. When I was told there's no cure and that I'd have to be on medication for the rest of my life, I said, look, I said to the head psychiatrist, if I was your son or your brother, where would you send me? And don't send me to a fashionable rehab for celebrities. I want to go somewhere tough where I'm going to learn everything about depression, anxiety, sadness, guilt, whatever it is, and addictions. So off I went to Topeka, Kansas, a place called the Menager Clinic, and there I gave up my rights, this time voluntarily. The first time I'd lost my rights, it was forced upon me. This time I gave them up willingly to actually want to understand everything, and no one could get me out of that clinic. Myself, my my mother, my brothers, my wife, no one. Only the doctors could release me. So when I went there to learn everything I could about stress and how it affects the mind and the body, and I befriended every patient to see what sort of medication, how often they'd come, what do they do when they're stressed, and what do they think caused it, why do they keep coming back, why do they keep losing to the battle of stress. And sure enough, I did eventually leave there, but not with a cure, but I was armed with a lot of information and a lot of knowledge and life experiences. From there, I went on a world journey, and since I was a pioneer of organic foods, I started investigating everything to do with nutrition. And during that journey, I started to realize that if I'm going to do it, I need to understand the drugs I'm on. So I said to myself, the doctors keep telling me I've got a chemical imbalance. So the more I researched everything, it all came back to the stress response. And there's five neurochemicals that I focused on that makes up the wonderful person you are, that your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and moods. They are serotonin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, dopamine, and endorphins. So I studied everything I could about those five neurochemicals and also the stress hormone cortisol. With that, I developed over time, after talking to many experts to do with optimum health throughout the world, how you can break the cycle. While I was on the clinic, in the Menager Clinic, the story of my grandfather is what kept me together. knowing him, when I was a little boy, he was a stonemason. He only stood 5'1". And I can remember as a boy watching him go to someone's place to break up some huge boulders, enormous. And I can remember looking at him and watching him with his hands going over the surface of the rock and studying it. And in the end, he pulled out this huge hammer, which I thought was bigger than him, and he was so determined, he swung it over his arm and came down on that rock with his fiery blue eyes, and it didn't break, and it just made him more determined. The next time, he swung it over and he crushed that rock. It just broke open. And then he went over to the second one, and he just took one swing at it and he broke it. And I thought, that's what I have to do with stress. Mm-hmm. It looks as though it's impossible to conquer. And everybody tells me, you know, Mr. Hewlett, you have to change your lifestyle and you have to take it easy. You cannot be the businessman you once was, and et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, well, I am not going to give up. I am going to find the weakness of stress. I'm going to be able to break the cycle of stress. And I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. And that is why you have put this book together, because you want people to know that, first of all, you have to face yourself. First of all, you must be aware that there are patternings that have been followed that have gotten you to where you are. And I was just amazed when I read about your marketing manager of your phenomenally successful company, Chris Thornton. He was dying of cancer. He had tried to talk to you. You had David Brown, who was a bank manager. He was dying of cancer. He tried to warn you. So many other people. You knew a Japanese businessman. He was seeing the problem. He said, do something. Try something else. This isn't healthy for you. You had so many people around you that you had been in business with that were ill, and even your dad. Your dad battled with cancer for 6 years, and one of the things your dad said to you was he was sorry that he had made such an emphasis about working and enforcing things, and he wanted you to take up golf. And
yeah,
he wanted you to
so
do
true.
Something.
Yeah,
all of these men.
Yes.
All of these men saying to you, we are dying. They wanted you to live because you deserved better. Now, this is something that to me is so profound. And here you are. You're speaking about it. You're talking to people. But you came very close to that razor's edge. And when you experience that razor's edge, when you're right there on that razor's edge, I know because I've been there. When you're right on that razor's edge, you make a choice. And you made a choice to live. You made a choice to fight back. Your journey has evolved in a much greater positioning than you could have ever, ever have imagined. And what has happened, too, is all of these disciplines that you incorporated that made you successful, they had worked against you because of your misunderstanding of the value of things in life. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with success. But it is the attachment and the values you put to it. And you were able, through this process, to say, wait a minute, where are my priorities? Now, let's talk about those priorities. When you did all this research, when you did all of this investigation, people coming in and out of mental situations, mental institutions, they're not cured. They're just, they keep getting the drugs. They keep getting, they're dumbed down, in my view. There is a very, it's very difficult for anyone to understand what someone goes through in those dark moments. It's frightening. It's very frightening. So here you are, you're taking on this challenge, and because of your grandfather's image that kept floating through your head, this tiny guy, breaking boulders apart, because he was disciplined, he was focused, he looked for that spot that he could make the breakthrough with. That's what you did. And what are the disciplines that you found were paramount?
Well, first of all, having an awareness of where you are at this very moment, an awareness of what your lifestyle is and what symptoms of stress you have, and that I wanted to take that first step of knowing that the way I am now, it's what's making me unwell, and that I want to be proactive, that I have to take that first step, understanding that the world is a bit of a bullying place, and that for many years I never knew how to say no. A lot of us don't know how, and we need to learn to be able to say no.
Mm-hmm.
from there, because of my experience with food, being a pioneer of organic food, I realized that a lot of what we eat and drink has a huge bearing on the neurochemistry, and that my stress response, that's your fight flight trigger, that's when you feel threatened or challenged, was being activated a lot of the time due to my lifestyle, racing against the clock, trying to keep everybody happy, trying to do too much in the day. And it took its toll on me. Over time, my neurochemistry was changing, and those symptoms of stress that other people who I loved, who told me to slow down, could see that it was impacting on me. And I was finding it difficult to have an awareness of my lifestyle. But when I started researching everything, when I was fighting back, I started to realize that I had destructive coping mechanisms to do with stress. And all of you are not alone. In the United States, according to the Mental Health America survey, you know, 37% of Americans reach for food as a coping mechanism, and 26% reach for cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. And the remainder are people who take up gambling, sex, or even addiction to the internet. And as I researched it more, I realized that dopamine, which is another, which is one of those five neurochemicals the drug companies were concentrating on, and that's why I was looking at it, that a lot of us have a dopamine hijack. And I was having a dopamine hijack all the time. I was reaching for CRAP, which stands for caffeine, refined sugar, alcohol, and processed foods. Mm-hmm. And I was reaching for that all the time to get a quick high, a quick release, a quick comfort from stress. But as I was reaching for that, dopamine actually craves more over time. So if you take a little bit of alcohol, over the years you're going to need more. If you're into sugars and fats, you know, a lot of desserts or savouries, whatever, you'll end up having to have more. And you just need to look at people like, famous people like Elvis Presley. He had everything. Fame, power, fortune, highly respected, wonderfully talented. Why was his life shortened? Due to the consumption of crap.
Mm-hmm.
There's destructive coping mechanisms. This was drugs, alcohol, and junk food. Look at Karen Carpenter, a lovely person. She died of she had anorexia, another form of destructive coping mechanism, died of early age. Look at Michael Jackson. Look at Whitney Houston recently. The list goes on.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Well, you took charge. Now, one of the things which I went, yes, I agree with this, you find that walking, and this is something that I really believe in. I think it's one of the best ways to handle stress, but you advocate, as I feel very strongly about, walking out of doors. And this was one of the patterns, one of many, and you go into detail on this. And it's not really complicated, but you implemented walking out of doors on a regular basis, regardless of weather. And my husband often jokes, we have a little Scottish terrier, and I would say, Victor's always game. He's ready to go. He doesn't care if it's failing. Neither do I. So we go out. And the key is dressing appropriately. But to get outdoors, to be able to move the body, really helps with stress. What turned you on to that? Why did you adopt that? Because you believe in it very strongly, an hour a day. Napoleon Hill, who was renowned for his work, he used to walk 10 miles a day. 10 miles a day. It was mandatory for him. Now, that is quite a bit of time, depending on how fast you ramble, amble along. But he said it helped to clear his mind, and this was something he'd walk in a local forest that was next to him. Well, a lot of people today live in concrete jungles, and they go, why in the world is not safe in my neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Well, go to a mall. But what made you wake up to this particular aspect of physical activity?
Well, because a lot of the others weren't effective enough. I used to swim up to a mile a day. Symptoms of stress did not go away. I used to be a runner. Symptoms didn't go away. I used to cycle. I used to be on the treadmill at times in my own gym. Wasn't good enough. And all my research pointed to that you got to do a brisk aerobic walk without interruption, not armed with an iPhone or stopping with your lovely dog or whatever. That's for pleasure. That's for enjoyment. This is just to maintain you. Research showed that there's 7,200 nerve endings in your feet that are connected to every part of the brain and the body. So taking a brisk aerobic walk where you're breathing in and out and you do the CPG, central pattern generator movement, you're getting the neurochemistry working in harmony on a cellular level of both the brain and the body. And it is very, very powerful. Just think, all those nerve endings are connected to every part of the brain and body. If you overrun, you're activating the fight-flights and triggering of response more. And a lot of people like to get that high, but it's not a natural high. It is you actually pushing yourself to get it. This mm-hmm. is about maintaining optimum health. And if you go and research anyone who lived a long time, it's a one, who are mobile, who used to walk. So mm-hmm. you get out in the urban gym. Here I am in 24/7 city and on the Granite Rock in New York City. I'm out there no matter what the weather's like. But when you do go out there, you are getting a much more better dose of vitamin D through the irises of the eye. Too many people are in the gyms, got their sunnies on, their sunglasses. You should be allowing yourself some natural light, especially up till 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to walk for a long time. And as for earthing yourself, there's nothing better than attaching yourself to Mother Earth. The rewards are enormous.
I agree. Paul, I just absolutely enjoyed your book. Your book, Stress Pandemic, 9 Natural Steps to Survive, Master Stress, and Live Well, I think is a phenomenally powerful book. And for those of you listening, if you have a loved one that you're very concerned about because you see the potential health problems, I think the stories in this book will be very inspiring to you. But more than anything else, take care of you. You hear me talking about this frequently on the show, and you can go to Paul Hulick's website, and it's Paul Hulick, and the last name is spelled H-U-L-J, like John, ICH.com. You can also go to stresspandemic.com. Both of those websites will enable you to find out more about this man, his phenomenal experience and journey, and his ability to say, I am really going to master myself and my life so that I can live it with quality and with the quantity of the right experience that I really want. Paul Hulick, thank you so much for being my guest today, and may you enjoy continued success and the joy of life as you are now.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated being on your show, Donna, and it's just been wonderful. We've got so much to live for, so prevention's the key. Prevention's far better than recovery, and take control of your stress before it takes control of you.
God bless, Paul Hulick. We look forward to whatever you come up with in your next book. And again, nothing but the best is wished for you and for those that you love. This is Donna Sebo, Stress Pandemic. Check it out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Visit Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. If you are a first-time listener to the show, and, of course, anybody can call in. And then after that, let me tell you what I'm impressed with, and you're welcome then to ask a question about anything that is of interest to you or that you might be concerned with. 888-627-6008. Well, we've got quite a lineup of guests this week. We're going to be talking with Barbara Garson tomorrow. Down the up escalator, the recession, all kinds of challenges have evolved. Well, Barbara did a number of interviews, and that is what her book is about. How are people coping with the variables that come with a recession, depression of environments? Well, we'll find out what she discovered. Betsy Thompson, we're going to be talking with her on Wednesday. Her book is titled, What Happens If? What Happens If? And then you have a blank space. Well, many times we always expect the worst. How can we change our thinking? What can we do to shift our modalities of perception so that we empower ourselves, not disempower ourselves? Betsy's got some tips there. Father's Day is going to be coming up this month, and we're going to be talking about the secret life of fathers with James I. Bond. And this is a charming collection of interviews with men who raise girls and what they go through, their fears, their joys, and much, much more. Also, hidden truths about what's behind beautiful smiles. This is a phenomenal publication, and if you have any kind of dental issues, cosmetic or other things, I think you're going to find Dr. Zyback a very interesting man. And I'll tell you, I got an education about many different things that are available for the improvement of the mouth, and which very, very much your teeth, your dental wellness, really does have a big effect on your overall health. So we're going to be finding out about that and much more. So we've got, as I said, a very, very interesting and eclectic lineup, and we want to be able to take care of that and work with that in a special way. So those are the people that are coming up this week. And again, if you want to chat with me, 888-627-6008. Mermaids. Well, we all have heard stories about mermaids. Are they true? Of course, most of us are going to say no. There was the adorable movie done with Tom Hanks and I'm trying to remember the woman's name, but she was just absolutely gorgeous, and I love that movie. It's escaping me right now. Maybe one of you can tell me what the movie was. But there are stories that go back as far back as the 1600s, even further back than that. And this one deals with a particular event that occurred on June the 15th of 1608. There was a navigator. His name was Henry Hudson, and he was on a ship. They were sailing through the Russian Arctic archipelago. He sighted a mermaid. No, I don't think he had too much of the rum. This is his story, and he recorded it. He said she was close to the ship's side, looking just very intently upon all of us. Now, he said the sea flipped her over. He saw that her breasts were like a woman's, her body as big as one of us. Her skin was very white. She had long hair, and its color was black. She had the tail of a porpoise, and she was speckled like a mackerel. Well, that isn't the only seafaring individual that saw mermaids. Christopher Columbus, yes, the man of history. He claims he saw three of them in the Caribbean, and that went back to 1493. Now, what he said, and he wrote it all down, is that they were anchored in an island cove, and he said three sirens. He didn't use the word mermaid, but three sirens came up very high out of the sea, but they weren't pretty. They were not pretty. All of the legends that he had ever read about, they were beautiful women with the tail of a fish. Nope, Christopher Columbus said, these were not pretty to look at. He also reported mermaids off of the coast of Guinea, Africa. That's right. And in 1614, in the West Indies, there was an explorer, John Smith. He saw a young woman in the water, and oh, it really got to be rather exciting. Apparently, she was pretty. And he said, she came up out of the water, and he said her whole bottom torso was that of a fish. And he said, by the way, she had green hair, and he didn't find that unattractive. 1610, Captain Whitbourne and his servant saw a sea creature with the face of a woman swimming towards them. And the same creature put both of her hands on the side of the boat and wanted to come in the boat, but Hawkridge clobbered it on the head and it sank beneath the water. Interesting. Why would he have been afraid of this? The unknown. This was in Newfoundland. And in 1917, the Leonidas was sailing from America to France, and it was accompanied by a mermaid for 6 hours, and it would come up out of the water to inspect the ship. And then it would go under the ship, and it'd reappear on the other side. 1937, India, There was a crowd that watched a merman. That's right. It was dumped from a fisherman's net. It wiggled back across the beach and swam away. The sea holds some secrets. I wonder if we'll ever find out the truth. What kind of creature was this that came from the sea that has been recorded by the famous and not so famous throughout the centuries? Well, we're finding, usually, the more we know, the less we know. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, the newsletter is out, and it will be up online shortly. And I thought I would share some whimsical stuff with you. And, of course, you all know, those of you that listen to the show regularly, that I review anywhere from 400 to 600 publications a year. That's books, CDs, DVDs. I get all kinds of materials, magazines, all kinds of stuff that crosses my desk because of the Daily Show. Well, somebody did a survey. Ah, yes, these beloved surveys. I wonder where they get the money for it. Anyway, someone did a survey on people and the books that they read. Now, what kind of books do you like? Do you like romance novels, stories of the supernatural, mysteries, thrilling, biographies? What about science fiction? Well, someone decided that they really needed to find out what kind of people are attracted to what. What are their personality characteristics? Well, here's a few of the tidbits. If you love romance novels, and typically women just adore them, well, it is giving you an emotional workout when you go through it, and you love to read them because it allows you to be in touch with your own feelings. And they found that people that really, really are into romance novels, they are very social, and they can evaluate people fairly well. Now, the supernatural, yes, that they find creates a creativeness. Many of the people that they did research that really enjoyed this found that they were very creative dreamers. They look for the magic in life. They want to see the beautiful, the unique, the unknown. And they're sort of adventurous, too. Now, if you get into biographies, you're a go-getter. Why? Because you want to be able to know about people that overcame difficulties, that inspire you to look at your life today with eyes open, with a clarity. And you really are a person that likes to put action out there, not unlike our guest. What can you do to make a difference? Well, that is what motivates you. Mysteries, thrillers. What do you enjoy? That, well, you like to solve problems. You like to be able to look at a bigger picture and maybe get down to the nitty-gritty detail, formulating new theories. You like to look at all kinds of possibilities. So you're a good problem solver. In science fiction, you have a passion for adventure. Why? Because you feel that there's always something to look forward to. There is this opportunity to maybe even make this world a better place than what it is at the moment. So, what if you like it all? Wow, you're quite a person. I think it's important to realize that we're parts of so many segments in life, so many segments. And what I want to encourage you to do is always, always be open to new ideas, new concepts, and then take the time to think it out. Does it fit with you? Does it not? But realize that hope does spring eternal, and that life, as it has for millennia, continues to go on. And why not make it an adventure, something that makes life for you extremely interesting? This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino muscle snack time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino muscle snack time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding amino muscle snack time by visiting amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I've come across a few tidbits that I thought I would share with you. I don't know about the foods that you like to eat. Well, one of my favorite foods is chicken. And I just really enjoy roasting chicken. And typically, I will do a chicken, not unlike the way I do a turkey, and that is when I put it in the oven and I'm going to roast it, I turn it upside down, and that way all of the juices that come from the darker portions of the meat go down into the breast and keep the breast nice and moist. Well, a lot of people will go out and invest in what you call roasting pans, and they put the chicken up on this stand. And all of the fat, you know, you roast it and all the skin gets nice and crispy and all of the fat drips down into this container below. Well, sometimes you don't have it in the budget to go and buy something special. I think it's $20 for this roasting item that goes through the cavity of the chicken, keeps it on its edge, and that way it just does a wonderful job. However, someone came up with a concept of using a bundt pan. If you didn't want to go out and buy that unit, you just want to roast the chicken so that the fat sort of drips away, you want a vertical roaster. That's the correct terminology. All you have to do is use a bundt pan. And I thought, boy, that is really a good idea. The bundt pan is nice and deep. You can just put the chicken right over that extended upright hole that's in the bundt pan, and you can roast it that way. What a great idea. I thought that was absolutely super. And then, of course, there's another tip, and I'm very much aware of this because it's been around for a long time. Well, whenever you do laundry, depending on what kind of water you have in your area, you may find that your clothes are not getting as white as you would like. Well, what you do is add a half a cup of baking soda, and it's very inexpensive. Baking soda is really cheap stuff to buy. All you need to do is just toss it into the laundry. It's not going to affect the color of your items other than helping the residue to be removed. Lots of times when we're doing laundry, this is something that we don't realize. There actually can be a buildup in the items that we're washing. So just adding a half a cup of baking soda to your detergent, whatever it might be, enables a cleaner rinse, and you're going to have to, you won't even need to use as much bleach when you're washing your whites. It creates the balance, the pH level of the water. And I'll tell you something else that baking soda does. If you're having an upset tummy after eating, maybe you've eaten too much, or maybe you've had food that's sort of high in fat and you're not accustomed to that, just like a quarter of a teaspoon and a half a cup of water will eliminate that immediately. And there's a friend of mine that's very much involved in Chinese medicine. And one of the things he does to bring the pH factor of his body together, he said, if I'm eating foods that are contributing to the acidic level in the body, he said, then I just go and I add a little bit of that to water, and he said it automatically helps the body to balance out. This is a Chinese medicine practitioner, and I thought, fascinating, baking soda, what almost everyone has in their home, in the refrigerator to keep odors away. This is a fabulous product that is also a benefit for your health and well-being. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Well, summer is here, and for most of us, we go, yahoo, weather has been absolutely wacky in so many parts of the country. People experiencing everything from snowstorms to tornadoes to floods. I mean, it's just been unbelievably crazy this year. But this is in the Pacific Northwest, at least where I am, and we're welcoming in the warmer summer temperatures. Of course, when you have that happen, you really want to have foods that are going to be comfortable with to eat with the warmer temperatures. Well, there is a Mediterranean salmon salad that I wanted to share with you, because here in the Pacific Northwest, we get in salmon. It comes in from Alaska, and oh, it is just absolutely awesome. And this is made with a vinaigrette. So if you're wanting to eat lighter, enjoying outdoors activities, this is a great way to keep your stamina up, not overload your body. And not only that, but have delicious flavors that are going to be very, very refreshing. Now, this recipe is one where you're going to need about a pound. This serves, oh, maybe six people, 4 to 6 people. And if you want to cut it in half, you can do that if you just want it for 2 to 3 people. But I would say this is something that when you fix it, it's going to be so much enjoyed by yourself and the people that you share it with. It's just great. What you're going to need is a pound of baby red tomatoes, and 8 ounces of green beans, fresh green beans. You can use frozen, too, if you want. 3/4 cup of Greek vinaigrette salad dressing. You need 3 tablespoons of chopped fresh mint. Now, the fresh mint really does make a difference. You can use dried, but the fresh is optimal because of the essential oils that come out. The tablespoon of lemon juice along with a tablespoon of Dijon mustard. Tablespoon of lemon juice with a tablespoon of Dijon mustard. 6 salmon fillets. Remember, this is for 6 people. And that's going to be about 1.5 pounds of your favorite salmon. 6 cups of your mixed baby salad greens. That's about 3 ounces in weight, and that's a lot of greens. You'll have 1/2 cup of pitted Kalamata olives. If you're a person that doesn't like olives, you don't have to put them in, but they go along with the Greek flavor. And then 2 tomatoes. You want to cut it into small wedges. Okay, the potatoes. Simple. You put them in boiling water. You want to cook them until they are tender. It's going to take about 10 to 12 minutes. Now, what you do is during the last 5 minutes of cooking the potatoes, you want to add your green beans into that. You're only going to leave them in there for 5 minutes. They're going to cook just really fast. Then you want to drain both the potatoes and the green beans under cold water, rinsing them until they're cool. And, of course, they're going to drain. Now, your broiler is what you're going to be using. You also could use your grill. And you want your salmon to be about 5 inches from heat if you're using a broiler. And, of course, you want to preheat it. And in a bowl, you're going to whisk together your salad dressing, which is your mint, your lemon juice, and mustard. And you want to take 1/4 cup of that, and you want to put it to the side. You want to reserve it. And you want to be sure that when you're putting your salmon on, that you have on the pan, or if you're using foil, you want to put some nonstick cooking spray, if you like. Or if you prefer, just brush it with a little bit of almond oil so that the salmon won't stick. And you want to put it, your salmon skin side down. so that it will be easier to remove. And you want to brush it with that salad dressing mixture that you've set to the side. You broil it. You don't turn the salmon. It's going to take about 15 minutes. Remember, you want to keep it at least 5 inches from the heat. And while that's cooking, because that's 15 minutes, you slice up your potatoes. You toss together in a big bowl the salad greens, the olives, the green beans, potatoes, with the remaining dressing. And by the time the salmon is finished, it's all ready to serve. You are able to put your salmon on top of the salad and tea, whatever your favorite beverage is, freshly baked, crisp, red, good sourdough goes with this just beautifully. But you've got a light meal, and it's a tasty one. So that's just something from the Northwest. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless you. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.